Peacetime frivolity meant there were numerous products customers wanted to make glow in the dark. The company now sold its paint directly to consumers and manufacturers who performed their own application. All this gave the Radium firm another idea. They planned to set up in-house studios for watch manufacturers. This would dramatically reduce the dial painting workforce in Orange, but the company would still profit by supplying the paint. In fact, the firm had a compelling reason to want to leave Orange, or at least condense operations. The site's position in the middle of a residential neighbourhood was proving problematic now that the fervour of wartime patriotism had gone. The local residents started to complain that factory fumes discoloured their laundry and affected their health. Company officials took the unusual step of appeasing the residents themselves. One executive gave a neighbour $5 compensation for her damaged washing. Well, that was a mistake. It opened the floodgates. Next thing, all the residents wanted money. People in this poor community were anxious to take advantage of the company. The firm learned its lesson. It immediately drew the company purse strings tight, and not a single further dollar was paid out. The executives turned their attention back to the watch company studios. The demand for them was obvious. In 1920, luminous watch production would surpass 4 million units. Arrangements were soon put in place and everyone was happy. Everyone, it seemed, but the original dial painters. For while the company was doing well through the new agreement, it left the women out in the cold. There was simply not enough work coming in to keep them all employed. Demand dwindled until the Orange studio was running only on a part-time basis. For the dial painters, who were paid by the number of dials they did, it was an unsustainable situation. Their numbers decreased until there were fewer than 100 women remaining. Helen Quinlan was one of those who got out, as did Catherine Sharp in search of better paid employment. Helen became a typist, while Catherine found a job in the office of a roller bearing factory, and found that she loved it. "The girls at the office," she wrote, "were a sociable crowd. They had a club which they invited me to join. Most of the girls embroidered or crocheted, making things for their hope chests." Hope chests were also called dowry chests and contained items collected by young single women in anticipation of marriage. In the spring of 1920, Catherine was 18, but she didn't seem in any hurry to settle down. She liked the nightlife too much for that. "I wasn't making anything for my hope chest," she wrote. "So while the girls worked, I played the piano and sang songs that were popular in those days." Grace Fryer was also canny enough to see the writing on the wall. Dial painting, for her, could only ever have been a stopgap job. It was something important to help the war effort, but it wasn't a long-term proposition for someone of her skills. She set her sights high and was thrilled to secure a position at the Fidelity, a high-end bank in Newark. She loved travelling to her office. Her dark hair neatly set and an elegant string of pearls around her neck, ready to get to grips with work that challenged her. As with Catherine's new colleagues, the girls at the bank were sociable. Grace was the kind of girl who loved dancing and laughing, and she and her new work friends often hosted dry parties, for Prohibition had begun in January 1920. Grace also liked to swim in her spare time, propelling her lithe body through the local swimming baths as she kept fit. She thought the future looked bright, and she wasn't the only one. In Orange, Albina Maggia had met her man at last. It felt so wonderful to be courting after waiting all this time. Just when she'd started to feel really old, she was 25, years older than most girls wed at that time, and with a suddenly creaky left knee to boot. He had finally come along. James Larice, a bricklayer and Italian immigrant who'd moved to the United States age 17. He was a war hero, awarded a Purple Heart and one Oak Leaf Cluster.